Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm preaching a series through the first part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 entitled Truly Blessed of God. Who are the ones who are truly blessed of God? And of course, we're talking about the Beatitudes here. Last week I dealt with verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Talking about sinners saved by the grace of God, who've been convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit to know their spiritual poverty and admit that if God were to judge them based upon their best efforts to obey Him, they would be condemned and eternally damned. But those who are poor in spirit are driven by the Holy Spirit to Christ for the riches of the kingdom of heaven. They are true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It says in verse 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the earth, but the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven has the riches of God's grace, of God's glory that we find in Christ. It's the kingdom of righteousness. The king who is Christ rules with a righteous scepter. So those who are members of this kingdom, citizens of this kingdom, are righteous in Him. They know they have no righteousness in themselves, and they admit to that. They're poor in spirit. But they have a righteousness in Christ. And that poverty of spirit is the confession of sin. I'm a sinner. And if the Lord would mark iniquities, I wouldn't stand. But here's the point. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's God who declared me not guilty. It's God who declared me righteous. And how could God do that and still be just in doing that? How could He show a sinner like me mercy and still be a just God? He has to be both a righteous judge as well as a loving Father, a king who rules in righteousness and yet who is merciful and gracious. Now, how can God do that and still be just? There's only one way, and that's by His grace, through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand in this kingdom. I have the right, the full rights and title to citizenship in the kingdom of heaven because of what Christ accomplished on Calvary in His obedience unto death, where He died, was buried, and arose the third day. We have the resurrection life of Christ as citizens of the kingdom. Now, in verse 4, we come to another statement of blessedness. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now remember, this blessed does not necessarily mean they're happy. And I believe this verse 4 shows that. How can you be happy and mourn at the same time? Well, there is a sense in which believers can do that. For example, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that. In fact, it tells us to have joy. Joy and peace in believing. In other words, my joy and my peace with God is in believing that Christ is my hope. Christ is my assurance. Christ is my forgiveness. The forgiveness of all my sins comes through Christ, His blood alone. I stand before God justified. I'm not guilty. I'm righteous in Christ by the grace of God. For as sin reigned unto death, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Christ I have a treasure and inheritance that's incorruptible, reserved for me in heaven. I cannot lose it because it's all depending upon what Christ has accomplished. And He's now, as He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day. He's now ascended unto the Father, ever living to make intercession for His people. and he won't let us go. So there's joy in that. But what about this mourning? It says here, blessed, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What do they mourn? You know what mourning is. Back in the old days, when somebody died, they would hire mourners who would come and sorrow and cry over the dead. But we know mourning. We've had moments of joy. We've had moments of sadness. And what kind of mourning is this for true believers? And that's what he's talking about now. He's not talking about the world. I mentioned last week this whole sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord is correcting. One of the things he's doing, one of the main things he's doing, he's correcting the wrong teachings of the Pharisees who had taught the people that they could be saved, that they could be right with God based upon their law keeping, keeping the law of Moses. And that was a lie. That's not what the law of Moses was never given as a means of salvation. The law of Moses was given as a way of God showing man, those who were under it, their sinfulness and their depravity and the impossibility of being saved based upon their law keeping. We read last week in Galatians 3 and verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to them. It starts out, as many as are of the curse of the law. Are the works of the law are under the curse. Do you realize that if you're trying to be saved in the way of works, is to establish a righteousness of your own, you're under a curse? Now, you may be happy in what you're doing. Most people are. But the reality is you're under a curse. So the law of Moses was given to expose their sin, their depravity, the impossibility of salvation by works. And so when we talk about blessed are they who mourn, the first thing that God the Holy Spirit brings the people of God to mourn over is that depravity. What he does, he shows us, he convicts us of sin to show us that without Christ, we're nothing. We don't have any righteousness of our own. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. And those sinners cannot be justified, saved, blessed of God by their works. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner and nothing at all. And again, if God were to judge me based upon my best efforts to keep the law, I'd be condemned forever. Even right now. All of that. And God the Holy Spirit brings the elect of God, the sheep of Christ, sinners whom God chose and gave to Christ, he brings them to mourn over that sin. But he doesn't leave them there. Look at verse 4 again. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, how are they going to be comforted? Well, look over at the book of John, chapter 16. And I want to show you something here. You know, a lot of people, they talk about Holy Spirit conviction. And that's what this verse, in essence, is talking about. Being convicted by the Spirit. And I want you to know something. Holy Spirit conviction is not simply emotion or emotionalism. Now, don't get me wrong. It may make you emotional. A lot of that has to do with a person's personality. God using that for his glory. But what is Holy Spirit conviction? Well, look here. Christ, he's talking to his disciples here in John 16. And he begins by talking about his death on the cross. Look at verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Now that word expedient means it is necessary. It's something that has to be done. It was something that he was obligated to do. Now why was he obligated to do it? Because before the foundation of the world, God chose a people, gave them to him, and he willingly agreed to be their surety. Now, you know what a surety is. That's one who pays the debt of another. So all the sin debt of all of God's chosen people was laid upon his shoulders. He became accountable for it. And in order to do that, he had to come to this earth and take into union with himself, his deity, a perfect sinless humanity. He had to be God with us. The Word made flesh to dwell among us. God-man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is, God-man. And in order to do the work of the surety, to pay the sin debt for his people, he had to substitute himself in their place as the sacrifice, as the offering, the sin bearer. He was made sin. Christ, who knew no sin, for us. And he did that in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The sins of his people were a charge to him, and his righteousness is charged to them. Now, in order to accomplish that redemption and ensure the salvation and final glory of all for whom he died, was buried, and rose the third day, what did he have to do? He said, it's expedient, necessary for you that I go away. He had to go away. In other words, he couldn't stay there with them on this earth. He was there for a while, but he told them, I've got to go away. Now, where is a way? Where was he going to? Well, he was going to Jerusalem, and he was going to be arrested. He was going to be tried, falsely convicted by men, you see, and he had to go to the cross. He had to die. He had to be buried, and then he had to be raised again the third day, and then he had to ascend unto his Father. And he lives there, lives forever to make intercession for his people. Had to go away. Now he's coming again, the second time. That's the second coming of Christ. But he had to go away. Now listen to what he says in verse 7 of John 16. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Now listen, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. If I go not, the Comforter. Now, the Comforter. Christ himself is a comforter. And this word comforter is literally advocate. 1 John 2 talks about the advocate of God's people all over the world, Jew and Gentile, believers, Jew and Gentile, is Jesus Christ the righteous. But here, you know who he's talking about? Well, we know it by verse 8. He says, look at it. And when he has come, the Comforter, he will reprove or convince or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says that down in verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you in all truth. Now, Christ is the Comforter. How does he comfort his people? Through another Comforter of the same kind, who is God, God the Holy Spirit. Christ is God the Son. The Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. One God, three who subsist in three persons. He comforts his people through another Comforter of the same kind, who is the Holy Spirit. You see, spiritual life in the new birth is the product, the fruit, the result of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed, charged, accounted to his people. That righteousness is the product of his death on the cross, his obedience unto death. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of truth, who comes to his people from Christ, and he convicts them, convinces them. Now, this conviction, we normally think of conviction as being convicted of sin, and that's part of it. And that's where the mourning comes in. Blessed are those who mourn. And look at what he says. Look at verse 8 again. When he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove, he will convict the world. Now, who's the world there? You know, a lot of people, when they see that word world, they automatically think, well, that's talking about everybody without exception. And it's not. In fact, the word world never speaks of anybody, everybody without exception. If you look at the context, it has to be determined by its context. Who is the world here? It's the world of those who are convicted, convinced of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Not everyone is convinced of that. The world is not, the unbelieving world is not convicted of sin. They think they're righteous. They think they're good enough to work their way to heaven. The unbelieving world is not convicted of righteousness. You see what I'm saying? This is God's people all over the world, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, Jew and Gentile, who believe, who are convicted by the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Holy Spirit conviction. And so he's going to reprove, convince, convict the world of sin. Three things here. Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now think about this in the context of those who mourn, but who shall be comforted. Look at verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, a lot of commentators will go to that verse and they'll say, well, he convicts us of the sin of unbelief. Well, that's true. You see, think of it this way. Think about Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. Now, before he was converted, before he was convicted, before he was born again, he thought that he believed in God. He thought that he was pleasing God. Remember, he talks about that in Philippians 3. He talked about how he was circumcised the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, obedient. He really believed that. But when the Holy Spirit came in the person, and when Christ came and through the Holy Spirit convicted Saul of sin because he didn't believe on Christ, Saul saw that all that time he was an unbeliever. So it is being convicted of unbelief. Unbelief is the mother of all sins. Somebody said one time that self-righteousness is the worst sin. Well, maybe, it is. It is a terrible, it's the worst thing that you can stand before God as it is as a self-righteous person. That's being cursed. That's being condemned. But why are people self-righteous? It's because they don't believe what God says. What does God say? God says there's none righteous. No, not one. We don't have a righteousness. And we can't work one by our best efforts to obey God. God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. God says that we all deserve death and hell because of our sins. Now, if you don't believe that, you're self-righteous. But here's what and that's included here. Of sin, he says, because they believe not on me. They don't believe on Christ. But here's the essence of it. The Holy Spirit convicts God's people that without His blood to pay for my sins, without His righteousness to justify me, is nothing but sin. It's all sin. It's all iniquity. None of it measures up. All of it is hopeless without Christ. Without His righteousness imputed to me, I have no righteousness at all. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us to mourn over our situation, mourn over our state. I'm a hopeless, helpless sinner without Christ. And all that time before I saw the glory of Christ in Holy Spirit conviction, I was sinning with a high hand, even in my church going and my baptisms and all of that. It was all self-righteousness. It was all unbelief because I didn't know Christ. Oh, I went to church. I went through the motions, but I wasn't hearing the true gospel of God's grace. I thought salvation was conditioned on me. That's self-righteousness. That's unbelief. But when I saw my true state before God, having been convinced of sin, because I didn't know the true Christ as the Lord my righteousness. You remember Paul wrote about that in Romans 10, about the Jewish, about his fleshly brethren, the Jews. He said they're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish one of their own because they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the finishing, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So without Christ, there's nothing but sin for me, even at my best. But now look at verse 10. He convicts of righteousness. Now look at this now, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Now here's where the comfort starts. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What the Holy Spirit does, He convicts us of sin in order to show God's people that there is salvation, there is mercy, there is grace, there is righteousness, there's forgiveness in Christ, all based upon His going to the Father. He went away. Where did He go? He went to the cross. What did He go there for? To die for my sins. He went to the cross. Why did He go there? To establish righteousness as my surety and my substitute. There's my comfort. There's my peace. There's my hope. There's my joy. It's in Him. Did He accomplish what He went there to do? Well, He died, but He didn't stay dead. He arose the third day, showing that His people are all justified in Him and by His righteousness. And then He ascended unto the Father. He went to the Father. That means He was accepted. His offering was accepted, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And He did it on behalf of God's elect. He did it on behalf of His church. He gave His life for the church. He did it on behalf of His sheep. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and of righteousness, He brings us to mourn over our sin, but to be comforted, to rejoice in Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And then verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now what He's talking about there is the casting down of Satan, the prince of this world, as the accuser of the brethren. And here's what He means. Judgment. What is a believer's judgment? When was a believer judged, or when is a believer going to be judged? Judgment at the cross. That's what He's talking about. That's when Satan was cast down. Read it in John chapter 12. All the accusations that Satan could hurl at the people of God, they don't stick, those accusations. Because, see, Christ took my sins and He drank damnation dry. He stands as my substitute. He stands as my surety, my substitute, my advocate, my intercessor, my mediator. See, Satan's charges cannot stick to me because God Himself will not charge me with sin. You know, back here in Matthew 5, it's talking about blessed. There's a beatitude in the Old Testament, Psalm 32 and verse 2, or verse 1 and 2, where David made this statement. He said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to expound upon that in Romans 4 when he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. You see, I've already been judged for all my sins in the person and work of Christ. He paid my penalty, the death and condemnation that I deserved and that I earned. Christ already took care of it on the cross. And somebody said, well, don't we as believers have to give an account before God at the final judgment? Yes, but you know what the account of a believer is? Paul wrote about it in Philippians chapter 3. He says that I may know Him whom to know Christ, that I am be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Christ. You see, my account is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. My account is His righteousness. So back here in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Now, the mourning doesn't stop with a believer, because there is a continual mourning and a continual comforting for a believer. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, even as believers, if we're true believers, if we're sinners saved by grace, we are still continually plagued with the remaining presence, power, and contamination of the flesh. Sin. Still with us. Only two types of people in this world. Sinners lost in their sins and sinners saved by grace. I often see a bumper sticker on cars that says that Christians are not perfect, they're just forgiven. Well, we need to, I don't like bumper sticker religion because it doesn't put anything in the right context. But here's what we have to understand about that. True Christians, true believers, are certainly not perfect within themselves. In my own mind, in my own affections, in my own will. I have a new heart that God has given me to look to Christ. But there is a perfection that we who are true Christians can claim right now. But it's not in ourselves. It's not in our works. It's not in our efforts. It's in Christ. I am perfect in Him based on His righteousness imputed. But in myself, I'm still a sinner. And I've got to fight sin, warfare. And that's a mourning. But I'm continually driven to Christ by the Holy Spirit for comfort for my sins daily. And it never stops, and it won't stop until we leave this life and go to be with the Lord. We're in a struggle, the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. We mourn, all who are saved, we mourn, but we're comforted in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.